Hello, this is Scott Bessenecker, and you're listening to Voices from the Center. This is episode 10, broadcasting from the Overturning Tables website. I serve as an elder on the board of an organization, really it's a fellowship of people, who are called Servants. Servants to Asia's Urban Poor is what they were known as years ago, but for a long time, they're a group of men and women who place themselves inside slum communities to serve poor communities. Most of them are from places of wealth or the middle class, and they have felt that the best way to serve those on the margins is to join them in their neighborhoods as people on the margins. And they live throughout Asia, mostly, and do some very, very incredible work as people who are walking alongside or sojourning with those in poor communities. When the bulldozers come through the slums, it's not just those who are born and raised in those communities who are getting bulldozed. These are my friends who are from often the West, places like the U.S. and Canada and Switzerland and Australia and New Zealand, standing alongside their neighbors as the bulldozers come through and leveraging what power they've got to speak up on behalf of themselves and their neighbors. It's a real challenge as someone who comes from the West to move into a different culture, no matter what. But when you're coming from a place of relative affluence and moving into a place of relative poverty, the challenges are compounded. So I was really impressed with a lady working with Servants from Switzerland named Katrin. Katrin's doing some really incredible work as a counselor and a social worker and a church planter and someone who does quite a bit of things in her community in Manila. But the thing that makes the challenges even more acute for Katrin is that Katrin was born with a number of disabilities that result from her being a little person.
My biggest challenge here in Manila is the public transportation, because we as Servants missionaries do not have cars. Therefore, I need to ride buses, jeepneys, tricycles. And even entering these vehicles is very difficult for me because it's very, very high. And as soon as I have a bag or something, it's really almost impossible. I mean, the nice thing is people here are very kind and supportive, helping, but that's really a big challenge. And also the rough roads, because I have a back problem, the rough roads with a lot of holes and the vibration in the vehicles is really a challenge. That's probably one of the biggest challenge. And in my house, I don't have running water. That means I need to fetch the water from outside. And because of I'm not very strong, and that's also a big challenge. I'm using a hose from a neighboring source of water, filling up buckets. And the biggest challenge are really physical challenges. And sempre, the other ones, I'm a foreigner, and I'm small. I mean, it's not much better today than in the 90s. People are more used to see different people who are not kind of looking the same like them, but it's still a challenge. People are laughing, people are staring, people are following me. Yeah, that's really also a big challenge. Not to get rude, still be stay friendly, and it's really a challenge.
All of us face disabilities, those things that seem to come harder for us than other people. And when those disabilities are external, when people can see them quite quickly and easily, it becomes very difficult not to allow others to define you by those things, or not to see yourself through that lens, the lens of that disability. I asked Katrin about this.
As long as I'm among people who are not reminding me that I'm different, that's easy just to somehow to forget that you are that I am different. But if you are among people who are constantly reminding you are not belonging to us, that's really difficult. And when I was a child, I had a tendency to kind of prove to everybody that I was like them. And that really formed my character, and I became an achiever, and I had really to be careful not to become a people pleaser, just to do what people expected me to do in order to belong. If somebody is growing up in an environment where you are really constantly reminded that you are not the same, and you need special care, you need special attention, then it's really difficult not to allow your smallness to define yourself or your identity. Because you see, when I was a teenager, people told me what I will become. Nobody believed me that I would become a medical technologist, because I was really limited because of my height. Everybody said, you will be an accountant or somebody in an office, and you will never live a normal life. And that's very dangerous if other people are trying to define you, and then you start to fight against that. And that happened to me.
Ketrin's road to get to Manila and to live in a slum serving with servants was a long one, and she spent a number of years in and out of missions, serving in the Philippines, trying to find a church that would support her, trying to find a mission agency that would support her. And I asked her to tell a little bit of that story.
I arrived in the Philippines the first time in 1990 with five other Swiss who had the desire to start their own mission. We were affiliated with OMF, and then they helped us to settle down and to learn language, to get around. But it happened that our team leader had a breakdown and he couldn't make it. He had to leave the country after half a year. It didn't work. But the rest, us four, we looked for another opportunity to continue serving the people here. And that was the time when I came across the Swiss servants. We had regularly meetings, especially during Christmas, like Swiss days, like our National Heroes Day. Or then I got to know the servants there, and I was really very impressed. After 2 years, I had to go back to Switzerland because my church told me, you can't be a freelancer for the rest of your life. You have to come back and get connected to a established mission organization. And I had to go back with five options. I looked around in the Philippines, in Manila, and one of the options was servants. And I came back, I discussed it with the elders, and my favorite of the five was servants. But my church then didn't allow me to join servants because they thought it's too radical and I can't make it. Then I joined a German mission organization who is also working among poor but is really focusing on church planting. And I was part of a church planting team, started a church with another Filipino. And after 4 years, I had a burnout. I had to go back to Switzerland because I was really very, very tired. And because this was a German organization, they were really very, very ministry focused. There was not much member care. There was always producing. And I left the Philippines. I thought I will never go back because I couldn't make it because I have a tendency to become a workaholic. And I went back to Switzerland and I studied social work. I went back to school in the age of 38, did my master's degree in social work. And then I started to work as a social worker. And I was still visiting the Philippines probably every 2 to 3 years. I had a lot of Filipino friends. I really kept in touch. And I always visited the Swiss servants members when I was here in the Philippines. And in 2008, God was just telling me, now it's you, it's enough rest. You have now a new perspective, a new job, a new new skills. And I was really quite sure I would like to go back as a social worker to the Philippines. But because of my last experience, I was really kind of scared. I didn't want to end up again as a burnout. And I didn't go to church in Switzerland anymore. I was still a Christian, practicing my faith, but without a community. And when I asked servants if I could kind of start to do the steps of joining, they told me at the beginning, you need to have a church. And then I started telling God, if you want to have me back in the Philippines, there are a lot of obstacles. You have to help me here, you have to help me there, and I need a church. And there were a lot of hindrances and obstacles. And I just said, God, if this is your desire to have me back, then you have to show me and you have to really be active in helping me. And within 2 years, all the things I needed happened. But I was still, I tell you, I was still scared. In 2008, God was kind of calling me back, and I left Switzerland in 2011. It took me another 3 years to really be ready. But within the 3 years, I experienced a lot of miracles God provided to show me, this is your place. And servants is the mission you should join. I knew as a handicapped person living in a slum community with a lot of barriers, I mean physical barriers, it won't be easy. I need to be really fit. I needed really a group of people who supported me financially, a church who is praying for me, sending me. That was all not there. And also, I needed, see, I as a social worker, you are serving the people at the edge of society. They are really the poor ones, the people who are with addiction or with other problems. Somehow, I felt, am I strong enough to face social problems in another culture, in another context? And also, I got older and older. Can I learn a language again? And I still was able to use basic language because I never lost it completely. But imagining going back again to school, learning a language, living in such simple houses, and that was also a big challenge to find an agency who will be my kind of employer in Switzerland, that I will be able to keep my health insurance. And all that happened within the 3 years. I moved to Bagong-Silang, it's called, because I got very interested in a very unusual Filipino church who does church in a different way. They are really kind of trying to live as a community. And I was really attracted and interested. And I moved there also to support the church and also to help them to grow, not only in numbers spiritually and also growing in their faith of living as a community. And my task is, I'm helping students in our church to get to college. I looked for sponsors in Switzerland. I do a lot of counseling. I do a lot of kind of trying to help in livelihood projects. I'm involved in a cooperative. I'm looking for customers in and outside the Philippines that they really can sell the products they are producing. I'm also helping in a daycare center, a preschool. Yeah, that's I'm somebody who is very open for a lot of different things. I'm also having a house church in my house. We have every Wednesday night we are meeting, reading the Bible, praying, sharing, eating. Yeah.
Like most expatriates who are living overseas and trying to integrate with local community, the biggest challenges for Catherine aren't necessarily the handicap that she faces as a little person, but the cultural challenges as a Swiss person living in a slum amongst Filipinos.
I mean, my handicap is not at all a problem in my church. I feel really supported and really accepted. The other part is my culture, my cultural background as a foreigner. Sometimes it's not so easy for them. They want to, I'm adjusting to them, they are adjusting to me. They're really doing very, very well. And I feel like belonging to a family there, and they are in including me, integrating me, and I feel very comfortable there. Sempre with all the differences of culture, sometimes misunderstandings, but that's not connected with my size. That's probably more my culture and my own behavior. I mean, I'm not an angel. Swiss people, they plan things. They think what will we do? And Filipinos are very, very spontaneous. And sometimes I have difficulties to adjust to the speed of changes, and also to wait till the last second to prepare. And especially if you are working in a team, I'm someone who is planning, and then I'm depending on the cooperation of others. That's sometimes a big challenge, really, to not to get frustrated and to be able to adjust to their changes, and to be, because I'm a little bit a serious person, and Filipinos are in many ways not very serious. And that's sometimes really a challenge for them, because I'm serious, and for me too, but I'm not as spontaneous as they are.
The class divides of this world keep getting larger and larger. The gap between the top 10 or 20% and the bottom 10 or 20%, I think, has increased every year for at least the last 40 or 50 years. Every strategy seems to not be able to address income inequality and wealth inequality. And one of the things I love about Servants and other organizations, I like to call it the New Friars, is that they are trying to remove all the obstacles from people encountering Jesus and the kingdom of God by living in these communities. Jesus came from the most gated community in the universe to be born in a peasant village. And their sense of incarnation is that as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. And so living in these communities becomes a very central part of their vision in bringing the kingdom into these places, and in coming close to Jesus as they see Jesus walking among the poor on the margins. Interestingly, those barriers are one thing that Catherine talks about, but it's really the barrier of coming from a very doing culture, as is true in Switzerland, it's true here in the U.S., and coming into a culture where being and where relationships trump doing stuff. She talks a little bit about that challenge.
I mean, a big challenge was before, as a professional social worker, you go to the office, you stay there from 8 to 5, and then you go home and then you have your privacy. But if you live in a community, it's really mixed. You have, sometimes there is not much happening, and then you need to face, how do I fill my time in a significant way, because there is not much happening, or sometimes people are around 24 hours, 7 days, you feel you don't have any privacy at all. Kind of, it's not so clear where work starts, where work ends, and also it's also mixed. Your people around you are serving, they are observing you 24 hours, 7 days, and they see also your weaknesses, your strength. You see same with them. It's really living together without an agenda. And I had really a problem in the beginning. I had a problem just being. I had the feeling I need to do. I need to do something. But I'm getting used to doing and being is kind of part of life here and not clearly separated. And I mean, I'm visiting my neighbors, talking to them, I'm cooking. I mean, household needs a lot of time, much more than in Switzerland. You're just surviving needs more time and efforts.
In addition to the challenges Katrin faces as a little person, as a person who has a number of handicaps on top of being a little person or as a result of being a little person, and as someone facing the challenges of finding the right church who believes in her, supports her, and will send her, and the right mission organization that will receive her, and the right community and church there in the Philippines that will embrace her, as well as the overcoming the cultural challenges of a Swiss person in a Filipino culture. Katrin spoke frankly about the challenges of being a single person and gave some great advice to folk who are single and thinking about a career in mission.
I mean, it's really a challenge to be a single missionary. And therefore, it's important to be integrated in a mission team, like me here with servants. I'm not the only single. Rachel is also single. That's, I think, very, very important. You leave your own family behind, and you need to have kind of a replacement. And that can be a replacement in your own mission community, or it can be if you are staying after a while, you're developing good relationships to Filipinos or to other expats. It could be that you start to create your own community outside of your mission. In my case, I have a very supportive family, a Filipino family. They are my second family here. It's a married couple with three grown-up children, and I will spend Christmas there. I spend last Christmas there. I spend with them my birthday. If I have a problem, I'm going there and asking for advice. If I'm down, I need some support, they are the ones I'm approaching. Kind of, I feel like I'm adopted by a family, a Filipino family. But I have also a good relationship to a single Australian lady who is working with another organization. Because sometimes it's difficult to have friendship with your own, in your own community, because in your own mission organization, because it's kind of not separate. It's difficult to separate work and privacy within your own team, because they know too many things about you, and you, that's somehow sometimes difficult. And therefore, I would say a challenge is really to find friends and a family outside of your mission organization.
I wrapped up the interview by asking Katrin to give advice to those who faced handicaps as they thought about relocating or becoming a missionary. I thought the advice that she gave applied not just to those who face physical disabilities, but to all of us who face some sort of internal or external disability.
I mean, for me, if somebody like with a disability would apply to servants, my first question would be, how did he manage his life in his own country? It's very important for me that the disability is not dictating his life, that he can reach his goals, can develop himself, be creative, and not just only focusing on his disability. That he would have to show me somehow that this person has done that already in his own home country. And he needs to know himself quite well to know what will be the challenges here physically, and what are the support he needs if he would join us.
I'm so inspired by Katrin's perseverance and her stick-to-itiveness, the ways that she continues to press ahead in spite of difficulties. And it helps to put some of my own challenges into perspective. And I think that's what some of these voices from the center, these voices that have been often marginalized, people who don't get to speak broadly, I think it's their voice that helps us to get a better perspective on life. And I hope you've been inspired and motivated as I have by Katrin. So thanks for listening. Thanks to Philip, my sound engineer, for putting this together. Thanks for bearing through the Skype tin can sound or the roosters crowing and dogs barking in the background as I interacted with Katrin, and come back next time for Voices from the Center.